old men who like hats.
Muffins and lies.
It was like a lion's mane.
How'd you mind me now?
Hello, and welcome to How Do You Like Me Now, the podcast where we go back and relive the golden years of kids' TV. I'm Will, with me as always is Liz. Hello, Liz.
I am the one and only.
Bam, bam.
It's my winning week. I haven't won in so long.
You are back on top.
Back on top where I should be.
Yes.
This is my place. It's been a long time since I won.
I tell you, and this was not a sure thing. This was touch and go.
Oh, I didn't feel massively confident. I thought this would divide people.
I mean, it did. People were heavily divided, but I think the more vocal support was for Arthur in the end.
Nice.
You know, a lot of people proudly wearing that badge of loser that I attached to.
Yeah, despite
to
the
it.
Fact you're making us sound like losers, squares, narcs, I think now, was said at one point. But the Arthur has a heart, and we respond to that, and we went for it.
Should we get into it?
Do you want to get straight into it?
Why not?
I feel it's incumbent to say, right, we usually do a little bit of chat up. So I have had my booster jab today.
Yes, you have.
And I'm feeling all right so far, but everyone else I know has responded quite badly to it.
Oh.
So at any point during this record, I could hit a brick wall and you'll just see me. I'll fade. So that you'll go, oh, she's fading fast, guys. We've got to wrap this up.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that the first two jabs you had, you didn't really have any effects to speak of.
Well, that's what you say, right? What I say is that I have such a low baseline that I am so ill generally that the jab didn't tamper with that. But yeah, no, I was fine last time.
Yeah.
I was all right. And this time round, I'm expecting it to hit me. I don't know why. I'm a pessimist. I can't help it. But
well, I think
a couple of days of like feeling a bit groggy, that's nothing to getting COVID, is it? So
absolutely.
I've no worries about that. I'm just saying it could curtail this episode.
It could. If it does, we apologise, but get vaccinated, people. There are more important things than podcasts at stake here. Get yourselves vaxxed. Anyway, so Liz, let's talk about Arthur, which I nearly called Hey Arthur.
I told you, it's a thing. It's actually quite interesting that we've started with a public broadcasting message there with you telling everybody to get vaxxed. because that's what it is. It's, you know, Arthur is a show from PBS. Mm-hmm. So the public broadcasting service, which also does Sesame Street, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It comes also from these books that are, a lot of them are about, you know, exploring those things that kids need to learn about. And so that's how it is. Yes, it does have messages in it because it's, you know, oh, these things happen and this is how to deal with them, kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Now, can I say one brief thing on that?
Yes.
I work in a library.
Sure.
In fact, most of the time I work in multiple libraries.
Most of the time you work upstairs in the spare room.
I do. But when I go into multiple libraries.
All right.
I've never come across one of these books.
Well, no, obviously I think they're American.
Okay.
North American, and they're, you know, they're big over there and not here. And I think probably completely fair, the cartoon TV show has taken over from the books. Mm-hmm. Because this has been running since 96.
Yeah.
It is still running now.
Well, okay.
They have actually said that they're going to end it, but it's, you know, they've made, I think, 250 episodes.
Wow, okay.
Which, when we watch these, they do the double episode thing of having two stories in one.
So really, so you're looking at like
nearly 500 stories.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Arthur. That's a lot of shenanigans.
And what's interesting,
aardvark to get involved in.
But I think part of the reason they can do that, mm-hmm, is because it isn't always Arthur's story. Arthur is the main character, but he's got this cast of friends, mm-hmm, and sometimes they will take over and it'll be a story about them. So Francine or Buster or Muffy will be the main central character, and Arthur may barely be in it.
Just a bit player in his own show.
Yes, exactly. But yeah. I think that keeps it fresh. It allows you to explore things from different points of view. Because Arthur, you know, is a male character, so, and you, sometimes you'll get the girls and they're having an issue. Sometimes you'll get Muffy, who's like the rich character, has problems. Sometimes, like, somebody else who's got money worries will have a... You know, there's little different takes on it. I think that's quite a good thing to do.
I agree. I think it is a good thing. I think the thing is, you know, with these shows, it's natural that kids will have their favourite characters. And you get that
Do you have a favourite Arthur character?
No.
You don't like any of them?
It won't surprise you to know that Arthur is probably the least objectionable to me.
Yeah, I get that. I do, I totally
There are ones that I really don't like, and there are some which I'm fairly indifferent on, of which Arthur is one of them.
So who's your least favourite character? Come on, I might as well ask.
Oh, it's a tough one. It's either Muffy or Buster. I think it's Buster.
Oh, wow.
I think it's Buster. Yeah.
So Arthur's best friend is Buster, the white rabbit, who I can't see anything wrong with, really.
Oh, he's very irritating.
Don't like Buster.
He's very irritating.
We didn't see that much of him in these episodes.
No, but the bits we do see, he's got a very shrill voice. I'll be honest, he's got no backbone. You know, I wrote here in reference to one of the episodes, I've never known a rabbit that was such a sheep. You know, he's...
I know you think that's deep, love, but you've never known a rabbit.
That's true.
Okay?
I'm just saying, in the pantheon of cartoon rabbits, Buster ranks dead last.
Does he?
He does. You know, you're talking like your A-listers, your Bugs, your Bucky O'Hares, you know, and then you've got way down the bottom, you've got Buster. He's like...
What about that one of the Cadbury's Caramel?
Which one? Oh, the caramel bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she, you know, that you don't talk about that in polite society.
Wow, you're a big fan of her.
I'm not. No,
I can see it in your eyes.
This makes it sound like I've got a thing for the caramel bunny, which I don't.
I think you do. Oh. I'm sorry that Buster couldn't be as sexy for you.
I don't want Buster to be sexy.
Who's your other least favourite, did you say?
I think Muffy. I think Muffy.
I can see that because Muffy is annoying.
Yeah.
So she's the little pigtails. I'm not sure I would like to say what sort of creature she's based
on. To be honest, a lot of these I can't tell what creatures they're based on.
The
rabbits are very identifiably rabbits, and Mr. Ratburn looks like a rat, but almost all the other animal characters look like just a general animal. I think Binky is a dog.
Well, you think that because that was the one we brought up in the pitch episode, because Binky, to me, is a hideous form of a creature.
Yes.
And I was surprised to learn that he's a dog, because he has no dog-like qualities. He looks like a Shrek.
He does look like Shrek.
Okay, so Muffy Crosswire.
Yep.
I'm just looking her up now. Is a monkey.
Okay, I think I can kind of see that.
Okay, yeah,
No.
Not really, but there you go.
Okay, what's Francine?
Francine Frensky. She is also a monkey.
Okay. So we've got two monkeys, a dog, an aardvark, and I presume Brain is another aardvark, and a rabbit. All being friends.
Brain is a bear.
What? He looks like Arthur.
He looks a lot like Arthur.
But Arthur's not a bear.
Listen, I chose the show, but I will not defend the appearances of the animals, because there is almost no way to... You would not guess this, would you?
No.
No.
No, 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 no. Not at all. Not at all. There's one thing...
And I'm saying all this according to the Arthur Wiki, so I hope this is accurate. This is the thing. If all of these were lies, I would have no way of telling.
I mean, if you were writing an essay using the Arthur Wiki, that's not a reliable source.
Why would I write an essay on Arthur?
Don't cite the Arthur Wiki when you're writing your Arthur essays. One thing, though, on this, before we move on, about the fact they are all animals, which I think, you know, fine. I'm perfectly on board with them being animals.
I think I already know what you're going to say. It's Arthur's dog, isn't it?
It is Arthur's dog. Okay. Now, one of his best friends, / his bully, is a dog.
Yeah.
And then he also has a dog that is an actual dog.
Yes.
Huh?
Well, I don't think that it's the only show that does that. I think there are others, aren't there?
Name them.
I know that there are.
You thought I was going to let that slide then? You thought I was going to go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know I'm right. You know there's something out there that does this. I'm sure we've talked about it.
I can't think what.
Oh, how infuriating. She'll have to go away and do some research.
But is it not weird, though?
It is weird. But it's clear that these are anthropomorphized people, animals, and the dog is a dog.
Right. So what we're looking at...
That is clear, isn't it?
Yeah. So we're looking at like an Island of Dr. Moreau type situation.
It's the raccoons.
Yes, it is the raccoons.
I thank you, sir.
But the thing is, I don't think the little dog there is a pet. The little dog is his son. But it's acting like a baby would, in that it's very much like a puppy.
I don't want to go back to the raccoons. I mean, there's too much Arthur
to do. If
you're
telling me that Arthur's dog is one day going to grow into a classmate of his, that's incredible.
I'm not telling you
that.
I'm not telling you that. I don't believe that to be the case.
Shame. Shame, because that I would
like to see. Arthur deals with real-world problems, and that is not a problem that any child watching the show will have encountered. Let's move on to what we actually did watch.
All right.
So we watched the first ever episode, mm-hmm. season one, episode one, from 1996. And then we watched one from series five. Episode six is from the year 2000. And that's got The Election and Francine Goes to War as the two stories. So the first ever episode and the first ever story is Arthur's Eyes.
Yes. Now, I liked this as an opener.
Do you want to talk about the theme tune?
Well, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Certified banger.
It's a certified banger. Now, quite a long time ago, I think when we did Playdays, someone sent me, basically someone had done like a remix of the Playdays theme tune, like a dub remix during lockdown.
Nice.
And I put it on Twitter, you can scroll back, it's there. But this is ripe for a remix. I've never heard someone cover this.
Do you know who this is doing the original?
I don't, but it does have the feel of a professional recording artist.
It's Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers.
Really?
So this has got some kudos,
I think.
That's
got pedigree, yeah.
And it's a cool song.
It is, yeah. Well, I'll give it to you that. It is a bop. A as bop. The kids say.
I've actually written that. I've written Song is a Bop.
You've written it's a bop. Yes.
It's my first note. Hey, song is a bop.
Your first note is hey. I'd love all your notes were preceded with hey.
I should have done that all the way down. Actually, there is another hey. How many hays have I done? No, it's only a couple. Yeah.
We get a little introduction to Arthur as a character through this intro.
Family. He's taking the family photo for his book. We see him walking down the street. We see him. It's got lots of friends. All of the characters that you love from Arthur, they're all there right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, I love as well that you have three shots of him taking photos of his family. On the third one, they all pull cameras out and take his photo. And then he looks very annoyed.
Very annoyed.
Very annoyed. I'm feeling that Arthur appreciates order.
Yes, I think you're right.
I think he really... I mean, think about it. He wears the same clothes every day, you know. He takes the same route through the start of every episode. I think, you know, he's very much... He likes everything in its place.
Mm.
A place for everything and everything in its place.
Yeah, I do think you're right, actually.
I have a feeling that might be the only photo of him in that album. I think he's probably one of those people. You know, they're always behind the camera, never... on camera.
Well, we see actually some other photos of him in a photo album as the start to the episode, don't we?
Well, then hush my mouth.
Because what happens is Arthur's little sister, DW, wakes him up in the middle of the night and says, come down, I've got to show you something. Now, DW, I think, is a great character because she's annoying, but she's meant to be annoying because your little brother and sister always annoy you. Sorry if my little sister is watching, listening. If she's watching, that's weird. Because we're just in our house right now.
See, as a little brother, you know, we're not annoying.
You're a kind of special case, though, because I think your older brother never had any intention of being the sensible elder sibling. So you had to come along and do it for him.
I mean, I think we've talked before about the time I'd asked him to feed my fish and came back and found there was half a ham sandwich dropped in the top of the tank.
I don't know if we've talked about that, but I think that does tell you everything you need to know. Anyway, I like DW for she is annoying, but in the way that she's meant to be.
Yeah, yeah. She's not. I didn't find her grating.
Okay, good. Because you found everything grating, so that's good to know. So she wakes Arthur up in the middle of the night. She's like, come on, there's a conspiracy. I've got to. She doesn't say conspiracy. She's like, you've got to see this. Because she's always got some scheme that she's found out.
Yeah.
Right. And she takes him down to show him some photos in their family album and says, we've got a lost brother that, you know, we don't know about. He's like, no, those are photos of me. And she says, no, it can't be you because this guy isn't wearing glasses. Which leads into a story about how he got his glasses.
Yeah, which, yeah, okay, fair enough, fair setup. I mean, it's, you know, and it's a lot of it's what you'd expect, you know, he can't see in class, he, you know, can't catch a ball.
It's, yeah, he's doing terribly at school, doing terrible at maths, doing terrible at sports, terrible at the eye test, funnily enough, yes. That he eventually gets. The school nurse gives him.
I do love on that, though, after they do that and he says, I have to go see the eye doctor. And they play like this horror Hammond organ, like, oh no, not the eye doctor. Da, 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 da.
Yeah. It's funny, this actually happened to my little sister.
Really?
Yeah. She went off to secondary school and I guess the board was a lot further away because all the teachers started complaining that she, like, you know, wasn't doing her work and... yeah, well, I think one of them actually said she needs her eyes tested because she...
In that case, it's doubly impressive if she's watching us.
She was really struggling in school and it all turned out to be because she couldn't see. But I said to her later years, I was like, did you never think to say to us that you couldn't see? And she was like, nope. Somehow kids just accept whatever is going on in their lives. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm sure nobody could see better than me. That would be absurd.
I think it's the thing, unless, you know, if it's a gradual thing, maybe you don't notice. But again, you're a kid. Everything's new.
Everything's, you know, you're like,
I don't know. I don't know what to make of everything. So anyway. Is that supposed to happen? I don't know.
No, who knows? Arthur gets his glasses from the doctor, but then he gets made fun of. There's a bit of, like, bullying because they start calling him Four Eyes. And it's from his people who later know are his friends, like Francine. And even Buster defends him 1 minute, and then the next minute, he's got milk bottles up to his eyes making fun of him.
Yeah, grow a spine, you prick.
Okay, we don't like Buster. it's strange. I was reading when I was looking up Arthur that somebody said not all of these episodes might be helping because they're made for quite young children. They're targeted at like 4 to 8. And sometimes children can't like... necessarily tell what the message is going to be.
Yeah.
So in all the majority of this episode is devoted to him being called Four Eyes. That may be the thing that small children take away from this.
Amazing.
Rather than the wrap up, which is, you know, he starts wearing his glasses. He sees a celebrity on TV wears glasses and he's like, oh, great, it's fine. And everybody accepts him for who he is. But the kids might focus on the majority of the episode being devoted to glasses are bad and he's called Four Eyes.
You know, and this all culminates when he accidentally goes into the girls' room. Because yeah, he decides not to.
Oh, the girls' toilets.
Yeah, goes into the girls' toilet and screaming. The entire school turns out to watch as he stumbles out blinded.
Yes. It's a big, embarrassing moment.
It is a big, embarrassing moment.
And, that is very much forgotten in the next, you know, segment.
Yeah, he goes home that night. You know, he sees that.
If the entire school turned out to laugh at me, is what I'm saying, I would never forget it.
No. Not at all.
There are incidents that happened to me that only one person saw that I will never forget.
Well, there's one one that occurs to me, which I'm not going to share, which, you know, happened, I think, in front of a good 100 people at the school, and they all laughed, and it haunts me.
I'm sorry, you're not going to share it?
No, I'm not.
Haunts Why me, bring it up then?
It haunts me on a regular basis.
You have to say it.
Okay, right. All right. For you, Liz, for you and the listeners, I will relive this past trauma.
Relive it. This is therapy now, all okay. right?
If you could say it without such a grin on your face.
Tell us the embarrassing story. You'll feel better. A problem shared is a problem halved.
Oh, God. It's one of these things, like, when I say it, you can be like, well, that's not that bad. And I'll be like, no, but it's mortifying. It still comes back and haunts me in a cold sweat in the middle of the night.
No, I think it's bad. Come on. Have I heard it before?
I think you might have done. When I was at school, my school did, as most schools do, Bugsy Malone.
Okay.
And I was cast as the detective, you know, the police detective, main police detective.
Yeah.
And there's one bit where basically my sidekick to dump a bucket of plaster over my head.
Right.
And then I sort of, you know, I got told, okay, when that happens, look down at your feet so you can see where you're going. Because I had to leave stage. And we had a big stage at my school. Mm-hmm. I had to leave stage with a bucket on my head without falling off the edge of this stage, right? I achieved this. It was fine. I didn't fall off the stage. I got off into things absolutely fine. After we'd done the show, a few weeks after the show, they'd recorded it. And they had this whole thing where they basically put it on. Everyone who was in the show could come and see it. And we all sat in the auditorium. And basically, because they sort of said, okay, we're going to put it on now. Everyone, you know, do whatever. People started talking and laughing and joking. Everyone was talking about all the bits they did and everything else. And people shouting out. And I looked at the back of my head and someone said something. And because it saw me stumbling. I was like, I couldn't see anything. And someone else was like, no shit, you had a bucket on your head. And everyone laughed. And genuinely, to this day, every now and then I wake up in a cold sweat. Like, oh no, oh, the mortification. Oh, so mortifying. I had no comeback. I said something stupid. I had no comeback. I thought this was therapy. You're just laughing at me.
Because I can't believe that's what you think about when you have a cold sweat.
What's one of the things?
Because it's like...
just to be clear, I don't think about that when I have a cold sweat. It's
no,
not
like, sorry.
I have a cold sweat and I think, oh, remember that time?
No, sorry. It amuses me about you that the worst thing that's happened in your life...
I didn't say it was the worst.
Somebody got a joke and you didn't have a comeback.
I didn't say it was the worst.
No, all right. But I do understand, because if it happened to me, I'm sure I would feel the same. But I think you should let it go. I think you should release that now into the ether. That was just a moment where somebody said an obvious joke that was funny. It wasn't anything negative about you. It was just a funny thing to say. And they got the laugh and you didn't that day.
I don't
okay?
know. I've held on to this pain for many years.
I'm saying it's okay to let it go.
It's okay.
Okay?
I mean, it's nearly 20 years.
Let
it's a long time.
Let it drift off. All right?
Calm blue ocean.
It's fine. Calm blue ocean. That's not an embarrassing story. There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. See, now you've got a grin on your face, so you're going to bring it up again.
No, now I'm trying to think of all the things that happened to me that are worse than that.
I didn't say that was the worst one.
What's the worst one,
no,
then?
No, I'm not doing that. We're not going down a list of my previous humiliations, all right? We're here to talk about Arthur, okay? Arthur, and he bursts out, he's got into the girl's toilet by mistake because he's forgotten how to count.
He hasn't forgotten how to count. He hasn't got his glasses on, so he got confused, right? That's the whole point of the episode, Will. I don't know if you... Like those 4 to 8-year-olds, you weren't really paying attention to the main message. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
In the end, he wears his glasses and that's all right.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit of a tame one for the first episode. I was much more interested in Francine's bad hair day.
Yes.
Which was the second one that we saw. So it's a Francine episode. I think she's quite divisive as a character as well.
Yeah.
I sort of like her because she's not the stereotypical girl character. She's a bit of a tomboy. She likes sports. And she's very strong in her opinions, which mm-hmm. is a good thing. But occasionally I think they use that to make her kind of the bad guy because she'll have a very strong opinion and rub everybody up the wrong way. And then they use that as a little moral in a story, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So on this one, yeah, it's picture day. We've had our little
picture
intro.
Picture day.
We've had a little intro of like the rules of picture day, which, you know, are don't burp when your photo's being taken.
Yeah, they show some like previous mishaps. Mm-hmm. So Buster had had 6 sodas, so he burps in his. And
what a prick.
Somebody else wears a flower and they sneeze. And these are previous mishaps.
Yes. And yeah, and then we cut to kickball, which is basically, yeah, Francine's playing... they're playing kickball against the fourth graders.
So I didn't know about kickball, but it looks like it's rounders, or what do they call it, baseball, but you've got a soccer football that you're carrying.
You kick it where you would like hit it with a bat. Instead, you kick the ball.
I think I've previously on this show mentioned I'm not great at sports. And in rounders, I believe I only hit, my bat only made contact with the ball once. One perfect hit, and I saw that ball go sailing off into the distance, and it never happened again. Every other time, I was just, I think if you strike out enough times, they let you run to first base just to get rid of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened to me every time. When I used to step up, they used to have somebody come over and explain the rules to me. So I hear your childhood trauma.
How little PE did you do?
It's amazing how...
Every time.
How many times you could get away with saying you either have your period or you have forgotten your kit. And what I used to do when I said I've got my kit, they'd say, you have to use lost property. I would say, oh, I'm sorry, miss. I'm too fat. There's nothing in there that will fit me. Because then the teachers are embarrassed because they haven't thought of the fact that you're a fat kid.
Master manipulator.
Right. Yeah, I know. I used to do it all the time. But I did do PE sometimes, but literally I could not retain the rules of rounders whatsoever. I was all right at hockey. Didn't mind that one so much. Okay. The ball's on the ground. You always know where it is there. It's not flying towards your face.
You always know where it is.
Yeah, yeah. Occasionally we got to do football.
Mm-hmm.
Quite bad at that. Quite bad. Tennis, we did very, very occasionally.
Yeah.
And I remember the teacher saying to me, well, I literally couldn't serve the ball. I literally couldn't serve the ball, and saying, well, you just haven't had a lot of practice. Table tennis.
She was right.
Table tennis, right? We did that one time because they had like one table tennis thing, and I like once me and my friend got on it. And she said, you are getting better, but you just needed a bigger table because we couldn't stop hitting it out miles. So that was that. We did step aerobics one time, and I took down an entire row, of girls.
Wow.
Trying to do a grapevine.
Okay, what's a grapevine?
Grapevine, you sort of like step, and then put one foot behind the other, and then
you
cross over. It's just this move, and I got all twisted, and I was going a different direction to everyone else, and everyone stumbled into the next person and just took out a row of them. There was trying to climb the rope. Did you ever try and climb the rope?
Yeah, we had to try and climb the rope.
I was struggling, right? I'm puffing and blowing, putting everything into it, inching my legs up, and I'm trying, and I'm thinking I must be moving out. And the teacher's like, Liz, you're not going... Or Elizabeth, you're not going anywhere. Just put your feet back on the ground. There was the time we did high jump. That's where you go over the bar, isn't it? And they were really getting mad at me because they thought I wasn't doing it properly. So they were like, really throw yourself into it this time. I did. I crashed into this big mat that they had for it. And the teacher's saying to me, that was better, but don't do whatever because you'll hurt yourself. I didn't even know which one the teacher was. I was looking into the faces of my classmates. They're all staring at me because the teacher is behind me and I'm trying to listen, but I don't remember which way is up anymore.
It's like when Arthur loses his glasses.
So, yeah, and funnily enough, I did have glasses as a child and they did not help me to be better at sport. So, yeah, if you want embarrassing stories... Me attempting any physical activity, that's what you want.
Let it go, Liz. Let it go.
I have too many to let it go. You know what happens if I let one of those go? Another one surfaces.
Let's leave the therapy and go back to Arthur. See, a kickball.
I think more things are going to come up.
Okay.
Arthur brings up a lot of stuff for me.
It's very triggering.
So this is about picture day, okay? Mm-hmm. Which, again, is a big embarrassment. I think we make less of a deal of it here because you just wear your school uniform, don't you?
Yeah.
And so it isn't so much of a big deal. Although I do remember in my primary school, one of the girls that I was friends with got a perm specifically for her photos.
No.
And she came in, it was like a lion's mane. She had these curls tumbling down, and she was very tall as well. So the individual photos were on the same day as the class photo. And so she was put in the middle at the back because she was the biggest when you took into account the hair. Now, that is pretty much the plot of this episode. That's what happens to Francine.
Like the MGM lion. Oh, amazing.
It was. I'm sure, because they trade little photos, don't they? I'm sure we all traded little, like individual. You could buy really tiny photos, like passport photo sized, of each other. And we all traded. And I'm sure I've got her somewhere, and it's joyful. But I'm sure she doesn't look at it. Anyway. That's basically what happens to Francine, because Francine, being a bit of a tomboy, you know, she's doing her sports and she gets all muddy and whatever. Muffy says to her, you know, I'll help you to dress yourself up nice for picture day.
Mm. Yeah, it's not entirely clear why Francine goes in for that. I think Muffy kind of says to her, you know, she shames her with a previous year's photo where she's, you know, got mud on her face, and
well, it is a bad photo.
It is a bad photo.
But I like that Francine doesn't need that much convincing, because I think it's a misconception that if you are a tomboy that you will never want to dress up. Hmm. Because, of course, you can be a tomboy most of the time, but then still want to look, you know, more feminine or more polished on particular days.
Yeah.
So I like that they don't make a big deal. Francine doesn't have to have a breakdown in order to just say, yeah, all right, you can, you know, help me do my hair or whatever. So yeah, Muffy's going to help her out, because Muffy knows about these things. Muffy's into more traditionally feminine activities.
Yes.
It's fine. It's all fine is what I'm saying, Will.
Okay. So Muffy goes around to Francine's, tries to brush her hair.
Yes, and Muffy tries to tackle things herself. Francine has one dress, which doesn't really suit her. It's very, very childish. And then Muffy tries some hairstyle that doesn't work. It's like a French revolutionary, you know, about to be taken to the guillotine.
Yes.
Marie Antoinette style, massive.
But nowhere near as polished. It's all like spikes coming up and like bows in it and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does look horrendous.
Oh, it does, absolutely. Oh, yeah, confirmed. So Muffy says to herself she needs professional help. And she says, meet me at the Salon de Butte.
Salon de Butte, yes.
Whereas I say, you know, everything that Muffy says to Francine is basically fine, she's just offered her help. What the woman in the salon says to Francine is not fine.
Horrendous. Horrendous.
She's barely walked in the door. She takes one look at her. She says, we don't promise miracles. Not in your price range.
Oh!
What a burn!
What a bitch! That's like a pretty woman dig right there.
So they show Francine some styles that she could get. There's like two ludicrous styles.
Yeah, there's like a Cleopatra style. And
oh, yeah,
then
Cleopatra.
There's like a beehive with actual bees flying around it on wires and stuff. It's...
Yeah, and then they show her one that is quite extravagant, but I guess more of a normal hairstyle.
Yeah, it's like a lot of loose curls. And
is this you describing hair now?
Yeah, this is me describing hair.
A lot of loose curls.
I do it occasionally.
Go on, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's flowing. It's you know, and she has a dream about it, about having this hair.
She does. She has a little, yeah.
A dream where she's playing kickball professionally, and her hair has a life of its own,
yeah,
where it tackles Buster around the throat,
mm-hmm,
something we've all wanted to do. the hair, you know, block makes a catch. The hair gets her like to the base,
touches
safely.
The base, yeah.
You know, it's, and everyone's, you know, cheering for Francine and the hair. It's, you know, it's a dream. Who's not had that dream?
Oh, we've all had that dream.
Who's not had the dream of sentient hair? You know.
I wouldn't use mine for sport, though.
You'd use yours for evil.
Yes, as always. As always, I would use mine for evil.
Commit crimes with a hair. No one's ever going to blame the hair. You can't fingerprint hair.
No one ever blames the hair. Anyway, so they do Francine this hairstyle, which the lady in the shop says, one prom queen to go, extra curls, hold the sauce.
Yes.
So that's what Francine is getting. What she actually gets is just a very tight perm.
It is a very tight perm. And she's not keen on it, and I don't blame her. It's not a good look for
her. It's not a great look for her, is it?
No, not at all.
But Muffy encourages her. Muffy says it looks nice and everything. And she says it goes with the dress, which it does because the dress is also hideous. So they do
consistent,
match. Yeah. But there's yet another important social commentary on gender here, mm-hmm. which is when they go into school, Francine says to the boys, do you like it? And they go, no. Because there are certain men that think that everything women do with their hair, makeup, clothes is for them and to impress men. And categorically, it is false. If you've ever asked a man, you know, if he prefers which shade of lipstick you prefer or which shade of nail varnish, they don't know the difference, right? I suppose I'm talking your stereotypical straight bloke here, right? Has no idea why women wear the things they do. Or why they choose the makeup and hair. Women do it for themselves. I know. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of women enjoy that. You know, what your appearance is an important part of how you express yourself and everything. And so some women, you know, do it for that reason, to feel good about themselves. A lot of other women, I think, just do it out of peer pressure, societal pressure, and because they fear the judgment of other women. But let's not go into that.
That's quite deep for Arthur.
We haven't got time for that. I think Arthur gets you to the tough issues, Will.
It does, yeah.
I really think it does.
That. Yep, that's it.
It's brought up a lot of stuff for both of us.
Oh, we're only part way through. So, Francine's been told very, very strict rules by Muffy about how to maintain her look, which are no cycling, no riding in convertibles, and always to wear protective headgear when you go out in the rain.
Yes. Those are important rules of the perm, I believe.
Yes. I mean, yeah, they're like gremlins. You know, you can't get them wet.
Mm-hmm.
You can't feed them after midnight.
No.
You know, no bright lights. Don't let anyone take a photo of you wearing a perm. That's
Well, that is
no,
a rule.
No flash photography
that's
around the perm.
That's definitely a rule.
And, But Francine's getting, you know, getting picked on, getting all the boys having jokes at her new look, and she goes to attack Buster with a ketchup bottle. Muffy squeezes it, and she gets ketchup all over the front of her dress.
Well, Muffy doesn't squeeze it maliciously. She's trying to tell her to not do that.
Yeah.
It gets on her dress, and so she has to have a green bow added.
Well, don't tell me that's not malicious. She adds a green bow on the front of a pink and yellow dress. I have, here is this poor girl.
That is hard to justify.
I have given her a perm and the most hideous dress in the history of fashion, and then she's got ketchup on it. So what I'm going to do is draw attention to this ketchup by putting a green bow tie on it.
It does really feel that...
like there's a clown bursting out of her chest.
I'm trying hard to justify Muffy's actions here. I'm saying she's not malicious, but there is this thing...
She doesn't think jumper, you know... cardigan, change of clothes.
Sometimes when women are bridesmaids, they say the bride chooses an ugly dress so that no one will look better than her. It feels like that vibe might be going on here.
Yeah, I can believe that, Muffy. Like, I don't think it's conscious, but something to cover this. Well, I definitely look better than you do, but let's just make absolutely certain of that.
Yeah.
By sticking this green bow tie on you. Oh, my goodness. So they're then watching the kickball game, and Francine wants to join in, but Muffy's telling her she can't. She's telling her not to slouch. And she says, if you want to look nice, no more kickball.
Yeah, if you want to look nice for your picture, you can't do it.
Yeah.
But obviously, Francine's sitting right there. She can't help herself.
No. Ball comes to her. She catches it. She runs. She dives. She's safe. And she's covered in mud.
Yeah.
And her hair's all astray, all askew all over the place. You know, I mean, arguably, does she look better than she did before?
She couldn't look worse.
She couldn't look worse, no. She looks happier. I think that's the
thing. I think that is the point. They don't specifically say, oh, she looks happier. But yeah, when they come to take the photos, she's all covered in mud and looks all dishevelled. But she does look happy.
Yes.
Whereas Muffy looks pouty when she takes her photo because she's all upset that Francine didn't do what she said.
Yeah.
So Muffy doesn't like her photo when she sees it because obviously she's got a moody face on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas Francine, when she sees hers, is very happy with it. And, you know, she's like, oh, well. And then, you know, Arthur sees it and says, oh, it looks just like you.
Yeah, and they trade photos. And, you know, and everyone's happy except Muffy, who is not happy. Because I'm going to put this out there. I don't think Muffy is ever really happy.
Well, we've got another Muffy-based episode coming up. Sorry. Muffy didn't make me laugh at first, and now it's taken me.
It's the Muff, isn't it?
Well, obviously it's the Muff.
Yeah. Let's move on then to the next episode. So we now jump to Series 5, yes?
Yes, this is Series 5, Episode 6. And yeah, the first half is called The Election.
Mm.
And we're in the future now, swearing in President Mary Alice Crosswire.
Yes.
Which is Muffy's real name.
Mm-hmm.
And
drop Muffy. You can't have President Muffy.
President Muffy being sworn in. Amazing. And Arthur comes running out of the crowd.
Who does that? At an inauguration?
At the inauguration? I mean, to be fair to Muffy, she's right to have Binky tackle him and remove him.
Completely, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's lucky Secret Service didn't shoot him.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Absolutely.
I mean, it would have been a twist I would not expect in this show.
What a start to an episode.
What a start. That would have been incredible.
Future Arthur's execution at a presidential inauguration.
Cuts back then to the classroom, and that's Buster's done, and that's what will happen. He's like, I get shot by the Secret Service.
Cuts back and they never reference it again. you just see him dead in a pool of blood, and then it cuts back and it's just a normal episode.
I mean, it's pretty dark as is, because, yeah, he gets tackled by Binky,
yeah,
gets piled into the back of a van, before the doors slam and he gets driven off, presumably to, you know, to... Never seen again. He says, oh... She, you know, she can't let go of that election when we were at school.
And like, that's, yeah, and then we go and see the election at school.
But what an arsehole. It's her inauguration. And you come out of the crowd saying, hey, Muffy, it's me. Remember me from school? Imagine someone did that.
I was going to say, these are people who, they're presidents. They know a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, funnily enough, a lot of people know them. They can't all wave and join them up on the stage for the inauguration. Hey, I was at school with you. Yeah, fair enough. If people come up to me now and they are, and I'm not a president, but if people come up to me now and they say, oh, I was at school, it's like, yeah, and?
Security.
Are you still in my life? No, there's a good reason.
You say that to people come up to you now?
No, no one comes up to me, funnily enough.
Word has spread.
You do that to enough people, right? Word gets round.
Do that and then you get security to tackle them into a van.
What? I mean, we've already talked about me at school,
mm-hmm,
but this episode did bring up a lot of stuff. So I apologise for like detouring into my own sad life. But the episode focuses on a mock presidential election.
Yes.
So this is being run in the school and Muffy decides to nominate herself and Buster speaks up and says that he thinks Arthur should also run. So it looks like it's going to be just between the two of them.
Mm.
And it's a mock election, so there's really no power attached to it. Which is, I also ran in a mock election. Have I told you about this?
I think you may have done.
I have to say it. I ran in a mock election. Maybe we'll do a bit more of the episode, and then I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
But it brought up a lot of stuff for me.
Well, see, there's a few bits off the bat. One is Francine. I thought this was going to turn into like Francine again because it looks like she wants to stand and everyone just talks over and she goes quiet. And I thought, well, that's the oppressed minority is Francine, right? You know, she is the voiceless that these people should be representing, but no one wants to talk to her. you know, I immediately got alarm bells with Muffy's candidacy because she uses inverted commas to say people.
Yes.
Like, Arthur, you won't be good at talking to the people, you know, the guy I don't consider real people.
It's well, like, I think that is part of Muffy's character, is that any time she gets power, she uses it for evil. she becomes unlivable and they have to knock her down a peg or two.
Yeah, that
is part of who she is. Which then, the fact that she goes on to become president in the future, very concerning.
He's deeply concerning.
But I think Douglas Adams made this point. I can't remember his exact quote, but it's something like, the last person you would want to give power to is the one that actually wants it. I think that's very much the case with Muffy.
Yeah.
Arthur's encouraged to run, and we see him at home. You know, he's planning his campaign. DW says to him, you're not even funny. Why would anyone vote for you? She's very cutting. Again, like all good siblings, just cuts him to the quick.
Buster's his campaign manager, and frankly, he's doing exactly the kind of job I expect Buster to do, which is just, oh, you've got to have jokes. And later on he comes up with like 6 books, as I found you 3 more jokes, which Arthur says one, which isn't a joke, and Buster pisses himself laughing.
Yeah.
The guy is a prick.
Bit of a yes man, isn't he?
He's a prick, is what he is.
And on Muffy's team, Francine is the campaign manager.
Yeah.
Which I think she's doing a much better job. I mean, we see how good a job she's doing, because Arthur says, oh, it's only a mock election, it's not real. There won't be like posters all over the school. And he goes in and Muffy has plastered the school in posters.
It's a propaganda bomb. There's posters, she's got buttons.
What was the one that made you laugh?
That's a good one. Yeah, she's basically, because she's got all these posters and they're based on, like, you know, old school sort of, you know, classic political sayings and campaigns and things. Yeah. Like, you know, so they haven't got like a where's the beef. But it's one which says, it's the cafeteria, silly, which just can't explain why, but just that little take on it's the economy, stupid, just made me laugh.
I think it's the fact that they've had to change economy and stupid.
Yes.
Stupid was too harsh.
Stupid is too harsh for this show. But yeah, so I thought this was, you know, I mean, I was quite scathing. I've written here that Muffy is campaigning on muffins and lies.
That is scathing. Yeah, she's giving out free muffins.
Yeah.
For a vote for Muffy, which wouldn't be allowed in this country. That would be called treating.
Yes.
And is a campaign offence.
Yes. I mean, I think we've mentioned before that you used to work in elections. But
yeah, I was
for anyone not familiar with that.
I was a deputy returning officer. So yeah. I would do a number of jobs. But we don't get so much involved in the campaign offences side of things. But I do know about them. You have to study. You have to study the law behind it, and you can't give out food.
Yeah.
It's one of the things.
Can't buy people's votes. Most of the
law around elections is written for basically Victorian times, when you could buy people's votes because they were starving.
Yes.
So you said she's giving out muffins. You also said buttons, but you mean badges.
I do mean badges,
because
yes.
Americans call them that, don't they?
Yes, they do.
What do they call buttons?
Buttons.
Oh, interesting.
Or fasteners?
No.
No.
Maybe they must say buttons.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not. If you're American, write in. And
write
tell us
in now.
What you call buttons. And what you
write in. We'll only accept answers by post. Well, this is the thing. I know that when they say buttons, they mean badges.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they call buttons.
What do they mean when they say badges? They mean badges.
Do they say badges?
Yeah, they say for like police badges. Like, that's your badge.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a badge that often you don't actually have.
It's not a removable one.
No, normally like you see it when they have it like on a chain around their neck, which arguably is not a badge. That's a pendant. That's,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a lanyard.
Lanyard. What a great... I love a lanyard.
Oh, I know.
What a great word.
I went to an election conference with you.
Yes.
I did, yeah.
We had lanyards. We
you had lanyards.
One of the things I miss about work most, the lanyards. Although now with, you know, single-use plastics being such a big thing, I think lanyard use has got to... We've got to crack down on it. Guys, come on. Let's get rid of lanyards.
Vote for Liz. For a crackdown on lanyards.
Because I told you I ran for a mock election, and does it sound like I won? Does it? No. We had badges. Let's move on.
Okay.
I'll come back to it. I will tell you the story. But anyway, they have to speak to the class about what they would do if they were elected. And Binky pipes up all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yeah, Mr. Ratburn gets involved as moderating this debate and suggests that Binky write in. He'd be a write-in candidate. Yeah, Muffy's intensely upset about Binky potentially being a write-in candidate because she thinks she's got selection sewn up. She's given all that time into making badges and muffins.
Well, to be fair, I think I would be a bit annoyed if I'd been campaigning and then at the last minute somebody said, I'll just let everybody do no homework and have snacks all the time. And then everybody's like, yay, I think I'd be pissed off. So what happens in the end?
Well, Mr. Ratburn explains to despite Muffy's objections, you know, he has just as much right to stand. That's what democracy is all about.
They keep saying this, don't they? They're like, this is democracy. This is democracy, kids. At the last minute, whatever you've been doing in your campaign, some cretin can come along, promise a load of lies, not deliver on them, and they can win.
Yeah.
That's democracy.
That's a farce. It's anyway, what that is.
Anyway. So, yeah, he's on the ballot, even though it's supposed to be a write-in. I don't know. Ratburn hasn't got a clue, right? Ratburn's on his arse with this. But Binky wins.
Binky does win, yeah.
Unbelievably.
Binky wins. And Ratburn, looking at this shambles he's presided over, says, the democratic process proves itself brilliant once again.
Yep.
Now, is that a savage dig from the makers of Arthur, or is he genuinely thinking, yeah, this works?
I think he is. And, you know, Binky starts telling people straight away, you know, there's no homework anymore, I'm in charge now, and has to be reminded that it's a mock election.
Yeah.
So my own disgust with the democratic process.
Do tell.
Okay, listen. So at A level, I did politics, and only a few of us did it. It was quite a small class. So when there was a general election in 2005, the teachers said, let's do a mock election in our school to get people interested in elections. And because we were the politics class, we had to be the candidates.
Right.
And I was first to volunteer. I wanted to run. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was excited to run. And the teacher, who was a very serious, strict teacher, says to me, who are you going to stand for? And I said, the Monster Raving Loony Party.
Of course.
Because I liked their kind of spirit of punk and anarchy that they bring to the democratic process. You know, the fact that they, as a total joke, can stand there side by side with all of the serious candidates. I've always enjoyed that. I think much more when the Screaming Lord Sutcher was around. Much more now, it seems to be about old men who like hats. But at the time, I was into it, right?
Yep.
So I said, I want to stand for the Monster Raving Loonies. She was a little upset at that, but she said I could if the other people would take the serious parties. So we had one girl.
What a snobby attitude.
That was her attitude. Okay, that was her attitude. But we had one girl who was a big supporter of Labour, so she was happy to take Labour. We had one girl who was a Conservative, and nobody would work with her, but she took the Conservatives. And then a couple of people who were left were like, fine. The Lib Dems, in 2005, I think a lot of young people felt like the Lib Dems were their sort of party. And mm-hmm. so they were fine with that. And we had to campaign on those parties' genuine manifestos.
Right.
Okay? So all the others had to read the manifestos of their parties. And I read a document, and I only remember two policies, which were the introduction of a 99 pence coin.
Yep.
And every house should have an ocelot.
See, I love this because we've talked before about, I don't mean this mean, things came easy to you at school.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've said before, didn't try hard.
No.
I love the fact that everyone else has had to read a proper serious election manifesto, and you've got to read the Monster Raving Loony Parties, what I presume is a one-pager.
I don't remember the length of the manifesto, but I have to say to you, as part of that course, we also had to watch the party conferences. And for that, I got assigned the Conservatives. So I watched either 2005 or 2006, the entire Conservative Party conference, like every available scrap of it that was on television, watched in order to do a presentation about it. And it was soul destroying because even if I was the most dyed-in-the-wall Tory, right, you would still get bored of this stuff. Like, there's still only so much you can take. I remember quite clearly, for some reason, they were all saying what bands they were into. It was like a little fun thing. And so many of them liked Snow Patrol.
Oh.
I'm sure it was Snow Patrol. And I was like, not Snow Patrol again. I'm sure that somebody out the back was briefing them saying, Snow Patrol really big right now. Oh. Just say Snow Patrol.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I'm sure it was that. Anyway. So, yeah, I stood for the Monster Raving Loonies. I got posters printed up with these ridiculous policies. I had a hat on for like 2 weeks solid. You're talking embarrassment at school, right? I'm a sixth former walking around wearing a hat and telling kids who have no idea there's going to be a mock election because we've never had one before in this school. It is not for a position of power that exists. It is purely an exercise. Okay. So then we're telling people in the corridor as they're just trying to go to their classes, vote for Monster Raving Loonies. I have lots of good chats with people, right? They're very happy to chat with me about stuff. And so I think I'm doing really well. I'm giving out badges. Everybody loves the badges, right? I think I'm doing great. Okay. And at this time, politically, Labour have been in power for a long time. We've had the Iraq War. There's a lot of anti-Labour sentiment floating around. This is the later Blair years, lot of anti-Labour. Conservatives, now it's a very conservative area, but conservatives traditionally, you know, young people are much more idealistic. They're not always drawn to the conservatives. And the Lib Dems, as I say, the girls that were doing that were kind of like the least engaged with this process. They're the most popular, let's say, of the girls in class. They don't really want to be out there shaking hands, meeting the voters, looking like a twat. So I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Remember, I know I'm standing for the Monster Raving Loonies, but it isn't a position of power. So when people come to vote, what could they possibly lose by voting for me, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm feeling good about it.
Polling day is looking good, you know?
Yeah. I have to go around, as I said, and meet all the classes that are going to vote. So I have to walk into all these different form rooms and talk to them and I tell them my policies and they get to quiz me. And we're all doing this like simultaneously. So I'm not there with the other candidates. I walk in on my own or maybe with one other person who is helping me and answer their questions. And because there isn't a lot of substance to these policies, I end up arguing for anarchy.
Of course you do.
At one point, I tell a class of probably like 16-year-olds that there should be no laws.
I've got that brilliant image of you going around your school in a hat going, fuck the police.
I never said that, but I'm in the classroom. A bunch of 16-year-olds telling them there should be no laws. The teacher has to sit at the side and just accept everything I say because I'm the candidate and I'm doing A-level, so I should know what I'm talking about. But this one girl goes, you can't actually do that because, like, people would do murders and there'd be no comeback. And I was like, I don't want to murder someone, do you? And this gobby girl who said this, I face her down. I say, I don't want to do a murder, do you? And everyone turns to look at her. And she's like she's like looking around at the whole class, like, isn't it obvious that you would do a murder? I really should have found out her name and checked what happened to her. But anyway, apart from that, I think I do well. They're all laughing at the policies. They think they're fun. They get the idea. I think I'm doing well. On the day, right? Okay. I come third behind Lib Dems. As I say, a lot of support for them at the time. Everybody thought they were a big hope.
Yeah.
And the Conservatives.
Oh.
Now.
That's got to be gutting.
That was a point at which I realised things won't change in this country. Because who voted Conservative?
In a mock election of secondary school
A mock
kids.
Election of children, because I don't think the sixth formers voted because we were running it. Maybe we did, but mostly ages 11 to about 16, 17, who voted Conservative? Who voted Conservative? Like, fine, have your beliefs. I know some of them will, you know, because of their parents, some of them will be Conservatives. But the majority, more like Labour came out fourth, and it was in the paper. Labour beaten into fourth in mock school election.
Amazing. Oh my God, that's
I found it personally devastating.
Oh my God, I can't, that you can't even get in a fictional election.
Yeah.
Get 12 and 13 year olds to dream.
No.
To rebel.
And it's not as if at that time the Conservatives were doing something very inspiring that might have caught their imagination. The leader was Michael Howard.
Oh. At least he was local.
He was local. Yeah, I met him. Yeah. My mum may have trapped a bull in his garden.
I was hoping you mentioned that.
I don't know.
I think we've talked about it before, but it bears repeating that your mum...
I was driving down the road with my mum, and there was a young bull that had escaped from somewhere that was trying to charge down a cyclist. And as the cyclist moved faster, the bull was moving faster, and eventually the cyclist got away, and then the bull was just staring at our car, and we couldn't get past. So my mum sort of drove at it slowly, and it ran, and then eventually veered off into this long driveway, and my mum jumped out and shut the gate behind it so it would be trapped in there. And we know, because it's known locally, that that is Michael Howard's house. So if Michael Howard ever woke up and a bull was in his garden with a gate shut and no other way that it could have got in there, it's because of my mum.
You're going to go, so if you're listening, Michael Howard, I apologise.
If you're listening, Michael Howard, mystery solved. Yes. No, I don't apologise.
Don't apologise, no need for that. Oh, amazing. So, yeah, I mean, what a story. That's incredible.
It's not incredible. It's just, I'm sure everybody's got times at which their idealism was challenged and their hope died. But, yeah.
Breathe, let it go, Liz. Let it go.
Okay, I'll let it go.
This is the therapeutic episode here. It's a safe space. Yeah.
I feel like Arthur is a safe space.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Yeah.
That's the appeal of Arthur. So we've got one last story.
Yes. Now, this is another Francine one. This is Francine Goes to War.
Yes.
Which I was, you know, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't expecting, obviously, her to...
Be at war.
Yeah.
No, well, she's known as being a bit of an angry character. I have to say, straight up, I won't make the whole episode about me. It's supposed to be about Arthur. But there was something that hit me even before the episode starts, which is they're saying, don't get Francine mad. And she's charging along and she's talking about someone, Fern, I think. She's like being rude about her. And she says, what's she going to do? Be quiet at me? And that really struck a nerve with me because everybody always thought I was quiet at school. But I have to tell you, if I'm being quiet around you, you should be afraid.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me.
No. I'm not telling you. I'm saying it generally.
Okay. All
right, I know you know. But the big, loud gobshites like Francine should be way more afraid.
Come the revolution.
Of the quiet people.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right.
I don't have to get loud to make you regret your actions.
No.
I'm just putting that out there.
Definitely.
Francine. I mean,
there was one point in this which we'll come back to which I've circled because I thought it was particularly appropriate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We'll get there when we get there.
Well, let's get to what the episode's about.
Yeah.
Because Francine's fighting with her older sister.
Yeah.
They're sort of screaming and making a lot of noise. And they hear a knock on the wall next to them, which they don't know what that's about. But the next door neighbour's trying to tell them to quiet down because they've got a new next door neighbour.
Yes, they have.
Called Mrs. Parisot.
And she doesn't look noise. So we've got that. We've got Francine is drumming up on the roof and the handyman for the building comes up and very meekly tells her that she has to stop because there's been a complaint. And Francine goes, go tell her to suck an egg. And he goes, well, I don't think I can tell her that.
See, it's funny. It has little, nice little moments in it. But then they proceed to harass this woman.
They do.
Like, genuinely, they prank call her.
Yeah.
Or they, I don't know if they mean it as a prank, but they are trying to call her and pretend to be other people.
Yeah. And it doesn't work. She just hangs up on them.
Yeah.
Then they write a letter purporting to be from the manager of the building.
Yeah, saying, get out, there's termites.
Yes, they're eating the cement. It's going to collapse. And she gets told, spill some coffee on it so it looks official.
And it's already, it clearly looks like it's written by a child. It's all topsy-turvy. Yeah.
So she slips under the door and the letter arrives back the next day with the spelling corrected, which I love. That's exactly the kind of thing I would do.
Oh, I love it too.
That's
I love it. That's send it back with red revenge. Pen all over it.
That's
beautiful.
The sweetest revenge. That's the way to do it. She tries to do a prank, like involving speaking through the vents, pretending to be a spirit.
Yeah.
She leaves a spider on the mat, which then gets left and dropped on her head. It's, you know, things are coming to a head.
I mean, if you were genuinely had moved into somewhere, and the kid from next door was speaking through a vent at you, sending you letters, leaving stuff to scare you on your doormat, you're being harassed in your own home.
Yeah.
You're not safe in your own home.
No. You start recording it, you inform the police.
Get the council involved, yep. Make a noise complaint.
Oh, absolutely. Been there.
Luckily, Francine doesn't get her family evicted in this episode.
Fortunately not, yeah.
Yeah.
And
she meets the woman.
She does, yeah.
This neighbour who she's been trying to harass, her dad... Yeah, this is the thing. She thinks her dad is going to ground her or something. But again, the woman's already 10 steps ahead of her on the best revenge, which is she has to go round there for tea.
Mm-hmm. And look at the fabulous life this woman has led. Living well is the best revenge.
Right. Mrs. Pariseau, or whatever her name is, invites her in, and she's supposed to be going round for tea, and then... This old woman says, oh, I don't like tea. Do you want soda? Right? And we're supposed to think she's cool. She says, I got to the semis at Wimbledon, but my main sport was horses. And apparently she's been to the Olympics a couple of times. I'm just going to say to you, Mrs. Pariseau is full of shit.
Yeah.
She hasn't done any of those things. I reckon she bought those trophies at a car boot sale. She is full of shit.
Now, are you saying she bought those trophies at a boot sale because she enjoys winding people up with tall stories?
Yeah.
Or she bought those trophies at a boot sale specifically to wind up Francine?
No, not specific to Francine. I reckon she pulled this scam multiple times.
Okay. That's what she does. She moves in somewhere, she gains the trust of a small child. Before she knows, she's ransacked the building.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't believe a word that comes out of her mouth. She got to the semis at Wimbledon a couple of times. But her main sport was horses. What? That's not... No. Who's just, you know, casually getting to the semis at Wimbledon and then going, I really prefer horses, though. What sport is she even doing on horses? Is she a jockey? Or does she do three-day eventing?
I think she's too tall for a jockey.
I don't know. But I think she's full of shit. Is she a rodeo clown?
he didn't...
And she's been to the Olympics. For what? Tennis? They don't have horse racing at the Olympics.
Oh, they have dressage, don't they? So she could be
in dressage. They have dressage, show jumping and cross country.
Yeah.
But she's not doing any of them at the end when she's on the horse.
No, she's not.
She's doing like a rodeo thing.
Yeah, she's on a horse.
Just on a horse.
Maybe, you know, she's...
I'm telling you, she's full of shit. And then she says to Francine, I'm lonely.
That's why I was banging on the wall when you were making noise.
Yeah. I need you to get me some friends, basically. So then this is why I know she's a con artist, because she's getting the small child to do the dirty work to get her involved in as many people's lives as possible so she can scam them out of stuff. Francine sets her up on basically a blind date with a dinner lady.
That she does. She does. Right? And it's
very trusting dinner lady who goes down the bingo is now going to take this. She thinks this is some old woman who's got no friends, got nobody, when in fact she's, you know... She's a trickster.
I mean, the thing I love about this happens. So she gets this wide circle of adult friends, And then we get this sort of next shot, basically, where it's Francine and her sister back in their bedroom. Suddenly there's so much noise coming from Parasol's apartment that they're complaining. They can't do their work. And I think that's the con. That's the long con.
Yeah, exactly. What's she doing in there that she's making so much noise?
Well, no, it's not even what she's doing. All of this, every step she's gone through, befriending the child, everything else. One, she's got the kid to be quiet, and now she can wind the kid up with noise, and the kid can't say anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the kid's created the source of that noise by gracing her with a social life. This woman is a sociopath.
Yeah. She's on drugs next door. But she's having a rave.
We do get a little message from the dad, which is, you know, get to know someone before you decide if you like them.
Right.
Now, I thought this was particularly pertinent for you.
Yeah.
Because
I won't do that.
No. Famously.
I have very strong gut instincts, right?
Do.
And as soon as they've been proved wrong, I'll change what I believe. But they haven't, okay?
It's very much guilty until proven innocent with you.
Yeah. So I strongly feel when I meet someone, whether I have any use for them in my life or I don't like them. Or sometimes I hate them. And I know you're going to bring up the woman over the street.
Yeah.
Who I have never had a single interaction with. We've got to make this clear. I haven't waved at her, smiled at her, passed her in the street, nothing. I am purely rear window style, sat in my house, looking out towards her. I don't think she knows I'm her neighbour, right? No. She wouldn't recognise me as a neighbour of hers, okay? I'm in the house looking at her and I see her bring her bins out and she's got a stroppy face on and I don't like her and I've made her my mortal enemy on this basis.
This is 100% true. This is 100% true. For anyone thinking, no, I can't believe that. It really is. It really, really
is. As soon as I see her, I'm riled up. I'm utterly furious, aren't I, if I see her?
Yeah, you are.
And she's doing nothing.
I'll be honest, sometimes you don't even need to see her and you're furious about her.
If I see you glance out the window, I go, is it her?
Yes.
And I know. I feel like this whole episode has been about my strange life.
Well, like we said, we should have flagged at the start. This is going to be a very therapeutic episode. There's going to be a lot.
I didn't know it was. I couldn't have flagged it. I didn't know that. But this is what Arthur is about. I think it's about getting you to think about how to deal with things in your real life. And clearly, we've got a lot of thinking to do.
Well, there we are. So, I mean, that was Arthur. Liz, how do you like me now?
I enjoyed it. I'm glad we watched it. I was worried that it would be boring, that the stories might be too simplistic because I knew it was made for younger children. But I think there are little jokes and it's well written. And so I think it is easy to watch even now. And it hasn't dated, you know, the 1996 episode. All right, it's still being made now. But the 96 episode, I reckon, would sit alongside the episodes that they're making now. So I really enjoyed it. I'm glad we watched it. I think it's a good thing to exist. I think it's good for kids to watch. I think it's a great show.
Okay, well, I think I did judge it a bit harshly off memory.
Yeah.
I do think it is... I don't think there's anything to fault in it other than the characters I didn't like. But I think actually in terms of, it is well written. It doesn't drag. There are things we've watched which are in a similar kind of lessons for kids vein that have real slow moments or drag or are confusing or, you know, everything else. This doesn't do that. And I think you're right. It does, you know, it does hold up. It hasn't massively dated. I think it's a solid show. Would I go back and watch it again? No. But it's not meant for me. Would I happily show it to children now? Sure, if people trusted me with their kids, I'd probably show them this show. You know, I think that's... off the basis of the rest of the episodes we've done, I don't think people should trust me with their kids. But, you know, certainly not programming
choices.
Well,
they don't. Nobody's ever asked us to look after a child, have they?
They have not, no.
No, no.
They have not. Well, there we are. Liz... thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week with our Christmas episode. Until then, thank you and goodbye.